Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
We're starting the book of Ephesians. It's a wonderful book. Each book that we find in Scripture has a special message. It's very important because God has given us the 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. It comes together like this, and it's just an amazing book that we have, the Bible. It's an amazing thing that we see in here. But I feel almost like no other book do we come to understand the riches of God that is found in Christ Jesus. A question to us this morning to consider. What wealth, what riches do we have because of Jesus Christ being our Lord and Savior? Have we studied that? Have we considered that? And if we have, maybe the Lord during our time will take us a bit deeper into that wealth and the riches that we have in Christ Jesus. Again, almost like no other book found in Scripture, he opens up this reality. And we're going to talk about that today. We're just going to do an introduction to the book because I believe it's important to grab a hold of the overall concept that God is presenting through a book as he uses Paul to instruct us. And we'll go, and then starting next week, we'll get into detail, word by word, verse by verse. But if you don't mind, we're going to go and we're going to have kind of like a skyscraper view looking down at this book and seeing how it's divided, different ways that we can approach it, but all that is there for us. We're just going to touch base on it briefly to give you an idea of where we're going in the book and what prayerfully the Holy Spirit would teach us and instruct us concerning. Beginning in verse 1 of chapter 19, we see where Paul goes to the church there in Ephesus. And we learn about this church and the privilege that it has, beginning, as I said, in verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples. Now, these disciples could have been part of those that Acts chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit came upon those in Jerusalem at that point. Maybe possibly these disciples had accepted the Lord during that time or had come close to the Lord in certain ways. And then he said in verse 2, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, very interesting response in verse 2, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. Now, unfortunately, today there are many people that may claim the name of Jesus Christ that do not know the personage of the Holy Spirit. It's important that we would understand that. I can remember as I grew up, I knew about the Father, I knew about the Son, but I didn't know much about the Holy Spirit at all. It's important that we understand the third person of the triune God because he dwells inside of us. He's the one that opens up the Scriptures. If you gain anything today from the teaching, it's because of the Holy Spirit working in and through your life. Victory comes in our life because of Jesus. And we're so thankful that to the Father that he sent us Jesus Christ. But Paul wanted to come and he simply said, have you heard about the Holy Spirit? And then he, in verse 3, said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. So they had come so far. Then Paul in verse 4 said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, notice what happened. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. It appears that they no doubt were water baptized, but also spiritually baptized into the body of Christ. And verse 6, and when Paul had laid hands on them, he prayed over them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. What a wonderful introduction to the riches of Christ. The power of God here in the beginning, we see with Paul dealing with this church, this group of people, only 12 people. But you know, this church started with 5 people in our living room, in our apartment. And so 12 was a great start in the church of Ephesus, and it would be an amazing church that would grow out. And the privilege that they would have as we get into the book of Ephesians, we will see that. And then verse 6, when Paul had laid hands on him, we see again tongues, and there were 12. And then verse 8, and he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months. He was with them there for a period of 3 months that is emphasized here, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. But when some were hardened and did not believe, notice how the gospel message always divides, but spoke evil of the way, that's Christianity, before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew the disciples, reasoning daily in the school of Tyrannus. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwell in Asia, notice, heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Powerful thing happened at that point. The gospel message goes out. There are those that embrace it, fully embrace it. Others that go another way. They started to persecute and come against them. So he withdrew them so he could strengthen them. He was a wise shepherd. He realized where they were spiritually and said, come on, let's step back here. And he began to speak to them daily in that way. And he continued to do that for 2 years. Nowhere else in scripture do we have that Paul had maybe spent as much time with a single church as he did with those in Ephesus. Very blessed church. And Paul's going to start unloading into them the things that he had heard from God when he went out into the wilderness and the things that he was growing in himself. Now look at verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul. This church began to see miracles in their midst, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. They're in deep trouble at this point. They truly, truly are, you know, because they needed to have Jesus inside of them, the Spirit of God living inside of them, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So they're going out by what they think is on Paul, and they're trying to big dudes and take care of things, and they're going to get in a lot of trouble here. There were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? At that point, they should have run. They should have ran at that point. Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Whoo! What an introduction to Christianity. Think about that. Those in Ephesus, they're being instructed in the power of God, in things of God at this point. And then verse 17, this became known. Notice what happens, both to all Jews and Greeks, that word all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified, and many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds, confessing and repenting. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted on up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. A lot of value there. But look at verse 20 again. This church, so the word of the Lord grew what? Mightily, and did what? Prevailed. Underline that, star that, because that is going to be a foundation that we're going to build upon as we go through and look at what God did in the midst of this church there in Ephesus. Go back to Ephesians chapter 1, please. Chapter 1 there. Just a little bit of introduction that goes on in that chapter, and we see there's a riot that takes place, and they try to come after Paul, and then Paul later comes back and invites the elders from Ephesus as the church has grown, and he speaks to them, and they get down on the shore, and they pray for each other, and they will never see him again. You can study that yourself. So again, look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul. Now we know that Paul is the writer of this book. How do we know that? It says so. That's all we have to worry about. It says Paul. It doesn't say Harry. doesn't say Josephine, it says Paul. So we can rest assured that it's Paul because the Holy Spirit is in charge of his word. He puts the words that he wants there. And so we just look at it and say, okay, it's Paul the apostle. There are those that debate that, and I don't know why they're so silly. It's just right there before them. And notice we see that he was an apostle. He was simply a messenger. And now what he's going to take is this message, these six chapters, to those in Ephesus, and it's a message that will blow their minds and should blow our minds. And so an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, we should never go unless God moves us. Notice the message was to the saints who are in Ephesus, and they're faithful in Christ Jesus. What a nice message to be spoken of them. And then he greets them with the two greetings, grace, the Greek greeting, grace to you, and peace, the Hebrew greeting, and it is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, what tense is that? Past. So when we open this book now, and we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about some blessings that God has for us as we go through this book, we need to understand that these blessings are complete. When Jesus on the cross said, tetelestai, it is finished, I believe he had in mind the instruction we're going to see here in the book of Ephesians. It's complete for you and I. And sometimes that's hard for us to understand, because what we do is we view our relationship with God often from inside of us. And have you ever noticed we have hiccups? Anybody got any hiccups? Any challenges? You know? One honest guy here. The older you get, and Craig's been around for a long time, the older we get, we realize those hiccups are real. But God has made a change in our lives. But God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. You and I are blessed. And that's what Paul's going to he's going to reveal to us through this book. And again, we're just going to take a skyscraper view and just talk about some of these things, and I pray that that'll be a blessing. Because then, starting next week, verse by verse, word by word, principle by principle, diving in to see who we are in Christ Jesus. And when we know that and we walk in that, then we become powerful instruments for God. And we're able to come against the enemy and stand firm. Who has blessed us with a few spiritual blessings. What's it say? All or every. Now, what does every mean? Every. Think about that. Every spiritual blessing. He didn't hold back. He has no intention just to give in partial to us. He's given us everything. And that is amazing when we begin to understand what that means. We're going to go through that. Who has blessed us with every, notice it is, spiritual blessing. Now, he'll bless us, and I pray that we have food today. I pray that we have a roof over our house. I pray that he's given us the needs that are in our lives today. But we see that it is spiritual blessings. That's what we want. Lord, pour on your spiritual blessings, whatever that means. Now, it might mean in our lives for that to happen that there's a process of breaking. Sometimes there's these things called trials. And trials prepare us for his blessings as we stay strong and walk with him. But every spiritual blessing, I love this part, in the heavenly places in Christ. You know, there's good things about this earth, but you know, it doesn't compare. Amen? It does not compare to what is in heaven waiting each and every one of us. I root for the rapture. Anybody else? You know, that's the way I like to go. Not everybody goes that way, you know. Many prior to today have gone another way, and we may go that way too. But someday, we're going to be in heaven. If we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, it's a promise that these blessings will be poured out on our life as we get into heaven and begin to see things that we have never seen before. Tremendous thing that we see. And so Paul wrote this book. He probably wrote it between 60 to 63 A.D., The letter was written while Paul was in prison in Rome. How do we know that? The Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. It says that this was written in prison there. While he was there in prison, he wrote Ephesians, he wrote Philippians, he wrote Colossians, and Philemon. And now two purposes, just if you'll bear with me, two purposes that you can look and see. There's so many, but two purposes I'd like to emphasize of why the Holy Spirit had Paul write this book. Number one, to reveal the purpose of God for the whole universe, for everyone. For the whole universe. God has shown his purpose through his son, Jesus Christ, and he is working out his purpose through the church, which is his body here on earth. The second purpose that we see, to encourage the church to walk in a spirit of oneness and unity. There is an enemy to our soul. There's an enemy that wants to divide this church. There's an enemy that wants to divide the overall church of Jesus Christ. Because if you're divided, then you can be conquered. And so the reason that this book, one of the reasons, important reasons it was written, overall reasons, was to illustrate that there needs to be unity in the body of Christ. Work through our differences. Remember to be patient with each other, loving to each other. That's very, very important. Now, as we're looking up above, I want to talk about two sections. If you break down this book, you can break it down into many ways, but I'm going to talk about breaking it down into two sections, and then I'm going to look at three sections, three ways that we can break this book down. First of all, the first one is chapters 1-3. This deals with what God has done for us first. You'll love chapters 1-3. Because it's all about what God has done for us. We're going to close the message today by looking through these things, some of these things. Very quickly, whet your appetite. If you want to study it more, it'll be on the website this week, and you can go, and I've got the scriptural references to look up every single one of these and dive into those. So deal with what God has done for us first. And we find that in verse 3 again. Look at it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that's what God has done for us. Second part of the book would be chapters 4-6. That deals with man's part after God has done his work. We cannot do one single thing aside from what God has done through Christ Jesus on our behalf. Make sense? So that's it. This is what God has done, chapters 1-3. Then, because of what God has done, this is what he enables us to do, and we'll talk about that. Now, if we're going to break it down into three sections, another way of approaching this book is to see it in three sections, and the first one is to illustrate the wealth of the believer. Very important. Ephesians, as I said, is one of the richest books in the whole Bible. It tells us what we have because of Jesus Christ and his grace upon our lives. So you want to hear a little bit about the wealth in Scripture that we see, that we have as Christians? Anybody say yes? Okay, thank you for putting up with me. Now listen, again, it's going to be on the website. You don't have to try to write all this down, but just listen to what God has done for us. See, in our walks with God, we say, and we can say, and we have said maybe, and maybe we'll say, for instance, it's impossible. Anybody ever said it's impossible? You know, and feel that way? You might not have said it. No way, Lord. I know that here it is. It's the 11th hour, 59th minute, 59th second, and you haven't showed up yet, and it's impossible. Then he shows up. You know, why did he wait so long? It would have been a lot easier on us if he just showed up. He said, no, I, he's got his reasons. We say it's impossible, but what does God say? There you go. All things are possible. That's wealth. That's riches. We say, I'm too tired. Anybody ever done that? I'm too tired. God says, I will give you rest. We say, nobody really loves me. God says, in capital letters, I love you. We say, I can't go on. Anybody ever done that? I can't go on. This trial's too much. I'm at the end of it. It's just not working out and all that. I can't go on. God says, my grace is sufficient. We say, I can't figure things out. God says, I will direct your steps. We say, I'm not able. God says, I'm able. We say, it's not worth it. God says, it will be worth it. Guaranteed. We say, I can't forgive myself. God says, capital letters, I forgive you. We say, I can't imagine. I can't manage. I just can't manage. God says, I will supply all your needs. The promises, the wealth that's found in Scripture. We say, I'm afraid. Have you ever said that? Yeah, because it's a real thing. Emotions are real at times. I'm afraid. God says, I have not given you a spirit of fear. I've not done that. We say, I'm always worried and frustrated. God says, cast all your cares on me. We say, I don't have enough faith. God says, I've given everyone a measure of faith. See, the riches of Christ are amazing. We say, I'm not smart enough. Yep, I'm not. You guys know that, huh? I was waiting for somebody to say yes. You guys are so kind. I'm not smart enough. God says, I'll give you my wisdom. We say, I feel all alone. God says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Isn't there a difference? How rich is God through Christ Jesus? That's just the beginning of things that we see in the Bible, in the book of Ephesians. It's amazing. That's only the first part. If we break it down into three areas, the wealth of the believer. We're going to spend three chapters looking at the wealth that is given to you and I. After that, we see illustrated the walk of the believer. Walk worthy of the calling with which you are called. Walk no longer as the Gentiles do. Walk in love. Walk as children of the light. Walk carefully. We'll see that as we get into chapter 4 and chapter 5. Then the third part of it, we go on into chapter 6, where we see illustrated for us the warfare of the believer. Is there war on this planet? It's going on all the time for souls. I mean, you cannot turn on the TV. You cannot turn it on without seeing warfare. If you go to any news channel, just warfare after warfare. We're in troublous times. Anybody heard of a guy named Watchman Nee? Yeah. He breaks down the book of Ephesians. The first part is what? Sit. Very important that we would understand this. In Ephesians, look at chapter 2, verse 6. Paul the Apostle says that we have been raised, God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so he breaks down the book and says, this is where we are seated. Today, though we live here, that's the thing that blows our mind. But spiritually, we have to understand that work that has been completed. And so when we walk in this world and when we deal with different situations, we don't so much look at ourselves as we are here on this earth, but we take a heavenly point of view according to what God has done through Christ Jesus. And we, the finished work is done. He sees us seated in heavenly places. We're just catching up with the work that is done. And it happens quickly. Anybody notice years go by quickly? They really do. They go by quickly. And so today we are to see ourselves seated in heavenly places. Then the second thing that Watchman Nee does is he breaks down this book. He says, okay, now that you see yourself seated, then we go back to what we just talked about and we are to walk. Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us. Sit. Walk, and the last one is stand. Chapter 6, verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Where to stand? Sit, walk, stand. Easy way to break down the book. Anybody excited about studying this book? I'm so excited. Truly, truly am. It's an amazing book. As we close out the message today, I want to just talk about further highlights of the book of Ephesians, the wealth that is there, just going through it and bathing our minds in it this morning. God's promises given to his children in verses 1 through 14 in chapter 1. Just listen to the promises, and this is what we will come back to as we go word by word, verse by verse, going through that. He chose us in Jesus. The Father has chosen us. He's chosen us in Christ. Having predestined us to adoption. Today, we are God's children. Someone said hallelujah, didn't you? Yeah. He made us, God made us accepted in the beloved because of Jesus. We are accepted. We can come boldly into the very throne room of God. Isn't that exciting? We can come that way. Yeah, we're imperfect. He knows that. But as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our sins from us. Scripture says that he does not even bring to his mind our sins any longer. because it's all covered by Jesus Christ. This is the riches of God through Christ Jesus. In him, we have redemption. How wonderful that is. In him, we have forgiveness of sins. In him, we have the riches of his grace. In him, he has made known to us the mystery of his will. We can open this up from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to Revelation chapter 22, verse 21. And the mystery of his will is revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can go to the book of Proverbs, and there's 31 Proverbs. So we read a proverb every single day, and he reveals his will to us. He guards us in that way. We can go to other places, and we can know his will for marriage. We can go other places and he knows, we can know his will for business. We go all these places and he's revealed his will, his purposes for you and I. It's right there. Sometimes it gets a little more challenging when we need a specific guidance, but yet the word of God will guide us as we go into prayer. It becomes this wonderful relationship with him to seek, knock, and find all of those things. It's just a wonderful walk we have. He's made known to us the mystery of his will through Christ Jesus. We might gather together in one all things. He might gather together in one in all things. We're going to talk about that. In him we have obtained an inheritance. What an amazing inheritance that we have. And he has sealed us with the Holy Spirit of promise. Why wouldn't a person be a Christian? When you begin to slow down and look at what's in here to tell us who the person is in Christ Jesus, why would they not? Only hardness of heart. Why didn't I until I was 27 years old? Stupidity. My own pride and arrogance. I'm going to do it on my own. Then he broke me. Thank him when he breaks us. God's mighty power illustrated when he worked in and through Jesus Christ. So now we're just moving beyond verse 19 here in chapter 1 into verses 20 through 23. Listen to his mighty power illustrated to us. It talks about God raised Jesus from the dead. God seated Jesus at his right hand in the heavenly places. God placed Jesus far above all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions. God gave Jesus a name above every single name. God puts all things under the feet of Jesus. God gave Jesus to be head over all things to the church. From the neck up, that's Jesus. He's the head. We're just parts. Some of you guys are little fingers. Other of you guys are stinky big toes. You know? Part of the body of Christ in that way. He's the head. And God made it to be the church. And we see it when God made it to be the church, that the church is Jesus' body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And then, promises that are ours because of what Jesus has done for us. It continues to go in chapter 2. Go, listen to the promises. God has made us alive together with Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That's who we are. We're not dead. We're not doomed to be separated from God. We today are alive. Not one, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, huh? Today we are alive. He's made us alive together with Christ. God has raised us up together, again, seated in heavenly places. God has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and God will show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us who are in Christ Jesus. And lastly, God has saved us by grace through faith. We don't have to work our way to heaven anymore. And lastly, listen to 9 special blessings we received as we close out chapter 2 of Ephesians. Just an overview. 9 special blessings we receive because of our being in Christ and no longer, of the world. He himself is our peace. Have you ever noticed when we draw close to him, there's a peace that goes beyond understanding? It truly is. It's a done deal. We have to learn to walk in that. God has made both one. He's brought everything together. Jesus abolished in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. We don't have to come to God by works any longer. The law has been fulfilled in Christ Jesus, and we enter into that. Jesus created himself in himself one new man from the two. Through Jesus Christ, we have access by the Spirit to the Father. We are no longer strangers, but fellow citizens. We have been built on a strong foundation with Jesus as the cornerstone. In him, we grow into a holy temple in the Lord. In him we are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Are we blessed? Truly blessed. Skyscraper view. All the riches. He just pours it out in chapters 1 through 3. And then he says, because of this, now I'm going to empower you by the Holy Spirit. And this is how you will walk. And there's going to be warfare. There's definitely going to be a battle. But know that I have overcome. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Now, the things that we've just talked about today, we haven't even covered 1/4 of what's in the book of Ephesians. You guys excited for a journey? An amazing journey. It's one of the most wonderful books ever written, I truly believe. So let's stand together and let's pray and ask God to really prepare us for what he would teach us and instruct us. Father, thank you so much for these men and women. I think it's good, Lord, just to preview where you're going to take us in Scripture. Just want to thank you for that. But I pray by your Holy Spirit that you would work in our lives and prepare us during the middle of the week. That, Lord, as we come and approach Scripture, we may review those. Or we may take time to preview and read ahead. But we would ask that you would just move in our lives in powerful ways, that you would bring change, you would set us free, and Lord, that we would become strong soldiers, standing firm for your glory with the full armor of God on. Take us into this world for your glory, for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through.